Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Gimel. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, and Neshama Shem Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Mr. Yehuda Jacobowitz in memory of his father, Shmuel Ben Chaya Moshe, Zichron Levracha, the Neshama Shem Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Binyamin and Jenny Bree in memory of Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Yonah Ben Bitzalel, Alav HaShalom, the Neshama Shem Aliyah. We thank all three sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to have a Mishnah that discusses what happens if there are multiple ksubos, that a person had many wives and he had different amounts in each ksuba that have to be paid, but there are limited funds. There are not enough funds to pay all the ksubas. So he owes one wife 100, one wife 200, one wife 300, but all he's got is $200. All he's got is $100. So how do you divide up that money among the multiple wives? Then the Gemara is going to have two different explanations for the way the Mishnah chooses to divide it, because it's somewhat of a curious division that the Mishnah has. So the Gemara is going to have one explanation that makes an ukimta, that it must be that there was some other private deal that was made between wife number one and wife number two, or between wife number two and wife number three, in order to justify the division in our Mishnah. Or the second explanation, where we say that it's not, it's another type of ukimta, where it's about how many times they came to collect, where all the money didn't become available at once, that initially X amount became available and they had to divide that, and then Y amount became available and they had to divide that, and that's how the Mishnah got to this funny division. Either way, it's somewhat strange that the Mishnah wouldn't just tell us what to do if they came to collect all at the same time without any special deals. If they were, meaning, why not just say the straight halacha? But the Mishnah has such a funny division that the Gemara has to figure out when that division would actually be true, and you wouldn't do a more direct kind of division. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, well, if you have such a din when it comes to ksubos, when it comes to multiple women that are owed different amounts in their ksuba, maybe you have similar din when it comes to partnerships, that you have multiple partners in the business, everybody invests, but different people invest different amounts. So how do you divide the profits? How do you divide the losses when different people invested different amounts? And you would think evenly, right? You would what they put in. That's how you divide it. If I'm a 20% owner, I get 20% of the profits. He's an 80% owner, he gets 80% of the profits. And you would think the same with the losses. But the Gemara says, not always so clear. It really depends on how the division is being done and what kind of profits and losses we are talking about. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about if you have four wives that are each owed a ksuba, so who has kedima in collecting, and what sorts of chiyuvei shvua there are between the wives themselves in order to be able to collect on their ksuba. So that's going to be on today's agenda. The economists and are very into this stuff of Gemara. People with PhDs and things like that are very into trying to figure out what the Gemara was thinking in approaching this sugya. We're just going to go simple. We're going to, because I don't understand anything beyond simple. So let's see. So says the Mishnah, Mishay Nasri Shalosh Nashim. A person is married to three wives, and he has a ksuba with each of them, and the ksuba was signed, let's say, all on one day. Let's make that ukimta to get things started. That's how Rashi writes, because if they were signed Bezuah Chazu, then one person's shibud precedes the other one's shibud, and whoever signed first gets to collect first. But once they're all on the same day, the shibud is chal from even though one may have been at 10 o'clock in the morning and one ksuba may have been at 11 o'clock in the morning and one ksuba may have been at noon, but the shibud is only chal from when it's muchach in the shtar that the shibud is chal, which is the last minute of that day. Meaning, if there was a property that was sold on that day that's written in the ksuba, the person who bought the property could say, no, I bought the property before you ever signed the ksuba, and we wouldn't be able to prove otherwise. So the shibud karkaos would only begin in the last minute of the date that's on the ksuba. So all three women have the same date on the ksuba. That the Ran and Tamid Rabbein Yonah explain even further that if they didn't write out the sha'a, they didn't write exactly what time of day, they're megaladas, that they don't really care care about the Sha'a, and they're not makbid on the Sha'a, and just like they're not makbid on the Ksuba, they're also not makbid on the Mesiris Hashtar, and the Shibur is Nachal until the Laila, until that night, until the very last moment of the day. So that's the assumption that we're working with. You have three women, each have their own Ksuba. All ksubas are dated on the same day, and therefore time of day is irrelevant. Ksubasa shalzo mana. One woman has a ksuba that says $100. Vishalzo masayim. A second woman has a ksuba that says $200. Vishalzo shalosh meos. And a third woman has a ksuba that says $300. But ve'ein sham elamana. They only have, there's only $100 of nechasim to go collect from. So the halach is cholkin bashava. That each one of the women take one third of the $100 that's available, because they in that mana they all have an equal shibud, meaning all of them are owed at least a mana. So one of them might be owed $10 million, but all he left is $100. So as far as the $100 is concerned, everyone has an equal claim on that $100, so everyone gets an equal division of that $100. But Hayusha Masayim, but if he left $200, so now this complicates matters a little bit, because the woman that's owed only $100 has no claim in the second $100, because that's beyond the amount that she's owed. Her only claim is on that original money, is on that original $100. And yet the other two women have an even claim on the second $100. So the halacha is notelas chamishim, the one who shalmana notelas chamishim, the one who has a $100 ksuba takes $50, which ostensibly makes no sense. The Gemara is going to have to explain why that would be the case. Meaning, on that first $100, all three women have an equal claim on that first $100. Why would the first woman get $50? They should divide that in three ways also. Okay, we'll have to deal with that. Vishal Masayim, Vishal Shalosh Meos. And now, of the remaining $150, the woman who's owed $200 and the woman who's owed $300 each take Shalosh Shalosh Shalosh. They each take 75 Zuz, which is Shalosh Shalosh. Zav, one Zav is 25 Zuz. That's the assumption here, that a mana is 4 dinari Zav, and a dinar Zav is therefore the 25 dinari Kesef, which is what we call a Zuz. So each of them is going to get 75 Zuz. Now, Hayusham Shalosh Meos, what if the guy left 300 Zuz of money to be collected? Now again, to really pay his ksubas, he really needs 600 Zuz, because there's 100 or 200 and 300. So he only left half the amount of money that's going to cover him for the ksubos. So Shalmana, the one who's owed $100, notelas chamishim, she still gets 50. And again, the Gemara is going to have to explain that. Why on earth should she get 50? In that first $100, they all have an even claim. The Shalmasayim mana, the one who's owed $200 gets $100, meaning 50 from the first $100 and another 50 from the second $100. The Gemara is going to explain why she gets the entire balance of that first $100. Shouldn't the woman who's owed $300 also get a say in what happens to that first $100? But apparently not. Apparently that woman is excluded from the first $100. The first $100 is divided between the woman who's owed $100 and the woman who's owed $200. And then Vishal Shalosh Meos, and the one who's owed $300, Shisha Shalzav, she gets $150, because she gets the balance of the $200, meaning the $200 woman got 50 of the second $100, so there's 50 left of the second $100, so the $300 woman gets that. And as far as the third $100, woman 1 and 2 have no claim on the third $100, the only one that's left to collect from the third $100 is the third woman, so she gets the entirety of the third $100, so it ends up getting divided 50, 100, 150. That's the way it ends up. It ends up being divided, which turns out to be proportional to what their ksubas were, because it was 100, 200, and 300. So 50, 100, and 150 turns out to be proportional. It's just that they don't divide it that way. So that's not how the math is being done. Apparently, the math is being done by the first $100 being divided two ways, the second $100 being divided two ways with women's 2 and 3, and $300 being given entirely to woman number 3. And once we're talking about ksubos and women with different amounts that are owed to them, the chen shalosh etil lukis, if you have three partners that all put in money into an investment, and pichasu ohosiru, the schora went down in value and they lost from their investment, or it went up in value and they made some money, and now they're coming to divide their profits or their losses, kachin cholkin. They each get, based on their chelek in the shutvos, they each get what they were putting in, what they had put in, what the profit or the loss is based on what they had put in. So if one of them put in mana, and the second one put in masayim, and the third one put in shalosh meos, and the schoru was mashbiach 300 zuz, so they're mechalik the revach based on what each one put into the shutfus. So the first one's going to get 50, the second one is going to get 100, and the third one is going to get 150, meaning like the last case in the Mishnah. That's how Tosfos explains that when we say that the same is true when you put in an investment, it's going on that last case of the ksubas that of 100, 200, 300, where there was 300 zuz available, where it ended up getting divided 51, 100, 150. So the same is true if you have people that put in an investment and there's $300 of profit, that $300 of profit will also be divided 50, 100, and 150, even though it's not the same thing, because by shutlis they always get lefi amos. By the ksuba, it just happens to work out that in the case of 300, they get lefi amos. In the case of 200, they didn't get lefi amos. In the case of 200, the first guy got the same amount as he gets when there are 300. He got 50. And the second and third guy had to divide it 75, 75 each. So that's not lefi amos. But nevertheless, the Sefer talks about where it's the we'll see in the Gemara how to justify the case of Ksuba. The case of the Ksuba is the anomaly, meaning in case of an investment that everyone's going to get lefi amos. That makes a lot of sense. So now says the Gemara, wait a second, how does that our division that the Gemara had suggested make any sense whatsoever? The Mishnah had said that when there's 200 zuz to be had, shalmana notelus chamishim. And then the one who's owed $100 gets 50 of the first $100. That's not right. She should get one third of the first $100. Meaning, after all, in the first case of the Mishnah, where there was only $100 to be divided, we said you divide it evenly among all three of them. And if woman number one has no claim in the second $100, well, the first $100 still stays the same. The first $100 should still be divided evenly among the three of them. So the Gemara has two mahalchim, two approaches. Number one, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says that the Mishnah is talking about Bekoseves, Balas Masayim LeBalas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Einli Imach B'mana. The woman who's owed $200 writes to the woman who's owed $100 that I'm not going to fight with you on the mana that's Meshuba to you, and you're not going to lose from your mana because of me. And therefore, the woman whose Ksuba is a mana divides evenly in that mana, not with the Balas Masayim, but with the Balas Shalosh Meos, and they each take, and she gets Chamishim Zuz from that mana, because the Balas Masayim was Misalik herself from that mana. So ask the Gemara, Ihach, if that's true that the Balas Masayim wrote to the Balas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Einli Imach, well then Ema Seifa Shel Masayim, but then the next case in the Mishnah says that if there's $200 in total, Shel Masayim V'Shel Shalosh Meos Shalosh Shalosh Shel Zav, it goes on to say that the balance of 150 gets divided evenly between woman number two and woman number three, that they each get $75. Why would the Balas Masayim get anything from the remaining $50 in that first 100? Temala, let the Balas Shalosh Meos say to the Balas Masayim, Hasalakta Nafshuch Mina, I heard that you said you want nothing to do with the first $100. And that's why in the first $100, woman number one got 50. I should get the full other 50 from that first $100. And then when it comes to the second $100, then we'll divide evenly. And I'll get 50, you'll get 50. So the way it should have broken down is 50, 50, 100 among the three women. If the woman that was owed $200 really said, "Dinu dvarim ainli, I have nothing to do with those first $100." So answers the Gemara, Mishum da Amr La, the Balas Masayim could say to the Balas Sholosh Meos, "Mi dinu dvarim hu dasliki nafshai. I was only misalik myself from dinu dvarim, that I'm not gonna, dinu dvarim means that I'm not gonna take her to court. I'm not gonna go against the Balas Mana in that first $100. And she's not gonna lose because of my presence in that first $100, but I didn't give her my chelek as a matana, and it's not through my shlichus that she's going to get more than her chelek, and therefore we should divide the rest of it evenly, because the shibud of the two of us is the same. So I was never masalik myself from fighting with you. I was masalik myself from woman number one, that she shouldn't lose on my account, and therefore she didn't lose on the account of my presence, so she got $50. You will lose on account of my presence. And therefore, since of the remaining $150, we both have an even claim on that. We both have a $200 shibud against us. So good. So now let's divide the remaining money evenly. It's a little bit strange, because the chiddush over here is enormous. Meaning, by woman number two saying dinu dvarim ainli, she's costing woman number three. Right? Because what would have happened, meaning if there was no side deal, if there was no dinu dvarim ainli, the first $100 would have been divided three ways, 33, 33, 33, and a third, whatever, right? And then the second $100 would have been divided two ways. So it would turn out that that each one is going to get $83 from the 83 and a third dollars. So it's one thing for me to give up, for woman number two to say dinu dvarim ainli, I'm giving up those extra $8 that I would have gotten. But for her to make the third party lose by saying dinu dvarim ainli, she sounds like such a nice person. I don't want to fight with you. I'm not going to fight with woman number one. You shouldn't lose on account of my presence. Yeah, but now woman number three is losing on account of the side deal that you're making with woman number one. So that is an enormous chiddush. And the Ran points out that even though the ikar chiddush of the Mishnah is that the balas mana doesn't get a chelek in the second mana, but the Tana picks this case. The Tana chooses to give a case of koseves dinu dvarim ainli to tell me a chiddush that because of the ksivas balas hamasayim, it's mismait from the balas Shalosh Meos. Meaning the Ran points out that there's, even though it's not the primary chiddush of the Mishnah, the primary chiddush of the Mishnah is that I would have thought, and we'll see that there is an opinion like this, I would have thought that this whole way of assessing what to do with the money is totally off base. Right? If you look in your wife's ksuba, it's going to say that everything you own is meshubat to the ksuba, and you'll pay a filin and glimat al kaspai, right? That even from the shirt off my back, I'm gonna pay for your ksuba, I'll do anything to pay for your ksuba. Well, is the ksuba that much money? Meaning, let's say you owe her $30,000. You have more than $30,000 to your name. Your house is worth way more than $30,000. So what does it mean that everything is meshubat to the ksuba? A shibud doesn't have to equal the amount that's owed. She has the option of collecting should you sell this property or that property so that she can collect from other properties. Shibud is on everything. So the primary chiddush of the Mishnah is that we look at it as a numbers game. We try to match up the numbers that, oh, her claim is only on that first $100. No, maybe her claim is on all of it until she gets paid back. So even though he left an estate that's worth $300 and she's only owed $100, she has a claim on all $300 until she gets paid back, her full $100. That's what we would have thought. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we break it up and say, no, her claim is only on that first $100, and then the $200 woman only has a claim on the first $200, and the $300 woman only has a claim on the first $300. That's the great chiddush of the Mishnah. But the Ran points out that according to this Ukimta, where the Balas Masayim writes to the Balas Mana, dinu dvarim ainli, it's telling me a secondary chiddush as well, that the Balas Masayim, through a side deal, is allowed to make the Balas Shalosh Meos lose out by saying dinu dvarim ainli. The Ritva writes that that the reason the Tana set up this case is not really to tell me this extra chiddush,
that the Balas Masayim could make the Balas Shalosh Meos lose, it's just because the Tana wanted to work with even numbers. Once you start with 33 and a third, you know, then it gets complicated. So 33 cents, what do you do with the extra penny? Okay, so they just tried to keep it at even numbers. The easiest way to keep it at even numbers was to make the Sukkimta of Dinu Dvarim Ainli. So that's how the Ritva writes. The Ritva also says that it could have said that the Balas Shalosh Meos says to the Balas Mana Dinu Dvarim Ainli. Right? It doesn't have to be that it was the Balas Masayim that said to the Balas Mana. The Gemara says Balas Masayim because she's the one right next to her in the Mishnah. So that's the one that we say worked out the deal. But it could have been the other way as well. Other Rishonim point out also that saying Dinu Dvar mainly is not enough. The Ra'ah and the Me'iri point out that you need to do some sort of kinyan attached to the Dinu Dvar mainly. You have to make a Maisa kinyan to show that you're serious about it. Just Dvar Bialma is not going to do the trick. Okay, now we said that Hayusham Shalosh Meos, if the estate had $300, so the one who was owed $100 gets $50. The one who was owed $200 gets $100. The one who was owed $300 gets Shisha Shalzov, gets $150. So says Gemara, wait a second, Shal Masayim Mana, why should the one that's owed $200 get $100? If we're already talking about in the Mishnah, where she wrote, the Balas Masayim wrote to the Balas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Einli Yimach B'mana, I want nothing to do with those first $100. And therefore, the Balas Mana got 50 of those dollars, so the Balas Masayim should have divided with the Balas Shalosh Meos the rest of the other $50 that's left over from the first $100, and they should also divide the second $100, so the Balas Masayim should be left with $75, right? It should be $25 from the first $100, and $50 from the second $100, and zero from the third $100, and the Shivim Chamisha Udi Isla, she should only have $75, which would leave that the Balas Shalosh Meos should have gotten $25 from the first $100, $50 from the second $100, and all 100 from the third $100. She should have gotten 175. So it should have divided up 50, 75, and 175. It works out? Yeah, it works out. So 50, 75, and 175. That's the way it should have played out. Once we're already making the Ukimta that the Balas Masayim says to the Balas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Ainli. So says the Gemara, another Ukimta. Amar Shmuel, because of his Balas Shalosh Meos, the Balas Masayim, Ula Balas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Ainli Yimachim B'mana. The Balas Shalosh Meos says, I'm being Masalik myself from fighting with either of you about the Mana. So the first Mana, the Balas Mana and the Balas Masayim divide evenly, and each one gets Chamishim Zuz. The second Mana, the Balas Mana has no Shibudin, and the Balas Masayim and the Balas Shalosh Meos divide evenly, and each one gets 50. And the third Mana, the Balas Masayim, has no Shibudin, and therefore the Balas Shalosh Meos gets the entire thing. So that's the way it ends up getting divided, that the first $100 gets divided evenly between woman number one and woman number two. Second $100 gets divided evenly between woman number two and woman number three. And third $100 just goes entirely to woman number three. Now, Tosfos raises a question. Once we already learned in the Mishnah that Kosevis Balas Masayim and the Balas Mana didn't divide mainly, and that they don't divide based on the Shibud that each one has in the money, but rather based on what she said, the Balas Masayim said, Dinu Dvar mainly, even though there's such a great chiddush in that, because the Balas Shalosh Meos is going to lose out based on your side deal, because the Balas Masayim could have said, it's only Midinu Dvarim that I'm a Salik Nafshai, that I'm a Salik myself. What's the Mishnah teaching me in the Sefer? What's the chiddush the Mishnah's teaching me in the Sefer? Meaning, why would the Mishnah need to make another side deal to tell me another din? There's no new din that's being taught in this second side deal. That the second Ukimta that we're making in the Mishnah, that there's some sort of side deal between the Balas Shalosh Meos and the previous two women. So that's a difficult question that the Rishonim work on. Okay, all of that is one approach to the Mishnah. We're all working with the oddity of why is it that when there's $100 when there's $200 rather, that the Balas Mana gets Chamishim? Shouldn't it have been divided that it's toss and toss? So we had to make this crazy ukimta that the Balas Masayim said to the Balas Mana, and then the Balas Shalosh Meos said to the Balas Masayim Mana, Dinu Dvarim Ainli. That's one mahalich. A second mahalich in explaining the numbers that come out in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yaakov Minahar Pekod Mishmed Ravina Amar Reisha B'shtei Tfisos V'Seifa B'shtei Tfisos. That both the case of the Reisha and the case of the Seifa is where not all the money became available at one time. See, if all the money becomes available at one time, good, then they'll divide the fee, their portion. But that's not what happened. They didn't happen at one time. There were Tofes Metaltalin two different times, and they came to Beis Din separately for each time there were Tofes Metaltalin. So the Gemara explains, and here's how it goes. Reisha, the case of the Reisha doesn't mean the very first case, meaning there were three cases. There was a case where he left $100, that we're not touching, that we're perfectly fine with, they divide that evenly. But then there was a case where they left $200, and that was troubling, and the case where he left $300, and that was troubling. So the one that Reisha means the first of the troubling cases. The case where he left $200, where the Balas Mana takes 50, and the Balas Masayim and the Balas Shalosh Meos divide 75-75 each. Why does that work out? Why is it that the Balas Shalosh Meos and the Balas Masayim each get the same amount, and the Balas Mana gets 50, the Balas Mana should get 33 and a third? So B'shtei Tvisos, it's that there were two different times where money became available. D'naflu Shim V'chamisha B'chad Zimna, first $75 became available. So when they came to fight about that $75, so $75 they all had an equal claim on, so everyone walked out of court with $25. And then Umeya V'esu V'chamisha B'chad Zimna, and then $125 became available at a later date. So the Balas Mana, who already received $25 from the original Nefila, so now she has a $75 shibud, so she comes to Beis Din to be Toveya her $75. So on that first $75 of the $125, on the second go-around, they all divide that evenly. So the first $75, they all divide evenly. Each of them takes $25, and therefore, there's $50 left on that $125 from the second go-around, and the woman who had the first $100 is now out of the picture, so she gets nothing of that last $50, but the Balas Masayim and the Balas Shalosh Meos have an even shibud on the remaining money, on the remaining $50, because that which is left from their chov that they were paid 25 dinar from the original tfisa turns out is more than 125. Meaning the Balas Masayim got $25 on the first go around, so she still has a $175 claim. She still has a $175 shibud, and there's only $125 that became available, so she has a claim on the entirety of that $125. So therefore, once they divide that first $75 three ways, they can now divide the remaining $50 two ways evenly. And that's how you end up with the Balas Masayim and the Balas Shalosh Meos each getting $75. Meaning, when it's Shtei Tvisos, we don't say, yeah, but in total, there was $200 that became available, and therefore the Balas Mana has a claim only on the first $100. No, it doesn't work that way. We when the first $75 gets divided, we say, okay, now $25 of each one's payment has been made, and now that we view it as if we're starting again. Now we're starting again, where this woman has a $75 shibud, and that woman has a $175 shibud, and that woman has a $275 shibud, and now $125 becomes available. So the first $75 of that $125 becomes available is everybody's shibud, and the last $50 is shibud of woman number two and woman number three. And the case of the Seifa, where there were $300, so that's going to be where we said it divides up as 50, 100, 150. That's B'shtei Tfisos. That's also where the money became available incrementally. It became available at two different times. $75 became available at one time, so all three women divided 25, 25, 25. And then Umasayim ve'esrim v'chamisha b'chad zimna. And then $225 additional dollars became available. So now let's think from woman number two's perspective. So from both woman number one and woman number two's perspective. Woman number one got $25 on the first chalukah. So the first $75 of the $225 that's remaining, she also gets $25 from. So she's going to get her $50 and go on her merry way. And woman number two and woman number three are also going to each get $25 from the first $75 of the $225 that remains. Now, woman number two, after she was originally paid her $25, she had a $175 shibud left. And now $225 becomes available, but she only has a claim on the first $175 of that $225. So $75 of it is gone because they divided it evenly between the three of them. Now, of the next 100, she and woman number three divide evenly, so she ends up with $100, and then the last $50, only woman number three has a claim on, and therefore woman number three is going to walk away with the entirety of the last $50, and that's why she's going to end up with $150. So that's the case. It was $75 became available, then $225 became available, and that's why woman number one walks away with 50, woman number two walks away with 100, and woman number three walks away with 150. So that's the second way of understanding our Mishnah. Again, quite a new kimta that was saying that the money didn't all come at once, it became available at different times, and that's why it gets divided in this funny way. So Tanya, Zo Mishnah's Rabbi Nassan. So the Braisa says, yeah, this is all Rabbi Nassan's Shita. But Rabbi Yomer, he says, I don't understand at all why this would be the case. All of them have a shibud on all of the nechasim, and therefore they should divide all $300 evenly. And therefore the balas mana and the balas masayim and the balas shalosh, all of them should have a shibud on all $300. So they should take $300, divide it evenly, and woman number one walks away getting her entire ksuba paid. Woman number two gets half her ksuba paid. Woman number three gets one third of her ksuba. Paid, because they all have a shibud on that money. That's at least how Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam understand this line of Gemara, that Rebbe is saying that they should each get $100. Tosfos ever quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rambam quotes such a shita in Hilchos Mavul Vav Parachaf Halacha Dalid from the Gaonim, that according to Rebbe, that he's not saying that each one walks away with $100. What Rebbe is saying is that you're cholik l'fiyah ma'os, and if there's $300, they're cholik all of the money, meaning what happens? He really owes $600, because he owes $100, $200, and $300. So you should take all, whatever money there is, divide it into six even parts, and let woman number one get one of those six parts, woman number two get two of those six parts, and woman number three get three of those six parts. That you're cholik l'fiyah ma'os. And that's the way that's the way it should work out. So that's how it's 50, 100, and 100 and 50. Without any mental gymnastics of anyone making any side deals or anything like that. That's how they say in the name of the Gaon. But then it turns out that the last case in the Mishnah where he leaves $300 is actually accurate, but for a totally different reason. It's not because the first $100 is being divided 50-50. No, it's because everyone's getting l'fi hamo'os. Now, v'chein shlosha she'itilu. The Mishnah then said that if three people partake in an investment, and the investment goes up in value or down in value, so it also gets divided similar to the way the $300 for the ksubos gets divided. Samar Shmuel, shnayim she'itilu l'kis, zem mana v'zem masayim. Let's say you have two people that are partners that invest in a business. One person puts $100 in, the other person puts $200 in. So they didn't stipulate in a contract how they're going to divide the profits. So when they divide the profits, haschar la'emtsa, they divide it evenly. Because we assume that the Baal Masayim and the Baal Mana want to divide everything evenly. So Rabba said, what? That's the assumption. Mistavra milsa to Shmuel, what Shmuel is saying, that the schar is la'emtsa. So that's only b'shor l'charisha va'omer l'charisha. That's if they go in to buy a shor to plow, and the shor is omer l'charisha. They use it for plowing. So when they divide the revach that they have from the charisha, they divide it evenly, because the chelik of one shutaf doesn't help without the chelik of the other shutaf. Even that's quite a chiddush, meaning your shor would be worthless if you took one third of it away. So therefore, even though I only paid for one third of it, I get half of the profits, because you take either of our chalakim away and the shor is absolutely worthless. Aval b'shor l'charisha, but if originally they bought the shor for charisha and then the value of the meat of the animal went up, va'omid l'tvicha, and now the best way to make money of this animal is to shecht it and sell its meat, and they're coming to divide the meat or to sell the meat and divide the money, zen not telfimosav, then even Shmuel is going to agree that each one gets based on the amount of money that he put in. Rav Hamnuna says that when Shmuel says they divide it evenly, it's afilu shor l'charisha v'amid l'tvicha haschar le'emtza. That even if initially they bought a shor to plow, and now the shor is going to be used for its meat, even then they divide it be'emtza. So the Gemara asks on Rabbah that a shor l'charisha v'amid l'tvicha, that they divide l'fi ha'maos, that they divide based on the investment, meisvei, shnayim, sheitilu l'kis, you have two people that put money into an investment. Zem, one of Zem Asayim, Haskar the Amtsa. The Brisa says that they divide evenly. So my love, Bishal Harishavam the Tzvichu Tiyuftu Draba, isn't that talking even in a case where they initially bought the shor for Harisha and they end up using it for Tvicha, they end up using it for the meat, and we still say that the schar is la'emtsa, so it's a tiyuft on Rabbah. Lo, b'shal l'charisha, v'om l'charisha. Maybe that's only talking about a case of shal l'charisha, v'om l'charisha, but maybe in a chinami, or shal l'charisha, v'om l'tvicha, they'll divide l'fi ha'ma'os. Al shal l'charisha, v'om l'tvicha, mai. So what are you telling me? That the Brisa would say that if they buy a shal l'charisha and it's om l'tvicha, ze notel l'fi ma'os, ze notel l'fi ma'os, they're each going to take based on the money that they put in? Well, then, adutani seifa, instead of the seifa saying that they divide evenly, only in a case where they're mishtatif in the most and they buy a behema b'shutfus, lokach zeb b'shalo, the zeb b'shalo, but if each one buys healthy shvarim that are worth masayim, and this one buys a shar that's kachush, that's only worth mea, and v'nisarvu, and then they make a shutfus in these oxen, and now they're coming to divide the profits, zenotel fimosav, zenotel fimosav. That's what the Sefer of the Brisa says, that each one takes l'fima usav. But if Rabbah is correct, that a shor that's bought l'charisha and is only l'charisha is different than a shor that's bought for charisha and is only the tvicha, where when it's that's going to be divided l'fima usav, why does the Brisa have to come up with a totally different type of shutfus in order to be able to come up with a case where they take l'fima usav? According to Rabbah, you have the case right in front of you. Liflo glissimi d'day. Let the Brisa talk about the very same case that the Reish was talking about, that everyone put their money in and they bought one shard, and you could still make this distinction that Bamed Varmamurim, when do you say they're cholik b'shava? That's b'shar l'charisha v'omid l'charisha. Avul b'shar l'charisha v'omid l'tvicha. Oh, you want a case where each one takes l'fi ma'osav? Keep the case the same, just that. Now they're using it for the meat. They all invested in the same animal, but they're using it for the meat. Zenot l'fi ma'osav, zenot l'fi ma'osav. Why didn't the Tana make such a chilik? It must be that the Tana holds that even in that case, you're not notel l'fima osav. Even in that case, the schar is la'emsa. So it's a kasha on Rabbah, who is mechalik between that which is omid l'charisha and that which is omid l'tvicha. So it says Gemara Hachinami Kamar. No, that's exactly what the Brisa meant to say. Bamed varam amurim, when do we say they divide evenly? B'shar l'charisha v'omid l'charisha. Av b'shar l'charisha v'omid l'tvicha. But if you have the case where they put in different amounts of money to invest in this shar, but now the shar is going to be used for tvicha, nasa kimi shalakach zebishalov in the sarvu. We treat that the same as if each one bought their own shar for different amounts of money and then they went in on a partnership where zenotel fima osav, zenotel fima osav, where everyone takes based on the money that they put in. So it's not telling me that the only time it's notel fima osav is if they bought separate animals. It's saying that when it's omid the tvicha, it's ki'ilu they had separate animals. So now the Gemara asks from the Mishnah and Shmuel, who said that if they both put in different amounts of money in investment, that they divide evenly. So Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, v'chein shlosha shitil l'kis, that if three people put different amounts of money into an investment, pichsu osiru kachin cholkin, that the guy who put in $100 gets 50 of the $300 revach, the guy who put in $200 gets 100, the guy who put in $300 gets 150. So my love, pichsu mamish, osiru osiru mamish. Doesn't that mean the actual gains and the actual losses get divided l'fi cheshbon? It does not get divided la'emtsa. So says Mar Mamnachem Rabbervua. No, the Mishnah doesn't mean that it went up or down in value and that they're dividing their actual gains and actual losses. Hasiru zuzichadati. Hasiru means that they took the actual cash that was put into the original investment, and now they have the same amount of money, but it's in newer currency. And newer currency is easier to get people to take. It's yotzei b'otza more easily. So they divide based on what they all put in, because you still have the same amount of money that they put in, but not actual profits. If it was actual profits in economy, that would be cholik b'shava. And pichasu, when it says that it went down in value, is astira d'tzonisa, is that the money that they put in, that they had put into the original investment, is still there, but it's lost its tzura, or the malchus has canceled that currency. It's like the old, you know, an old $100 bill or whatever that is no longer valuable. So now it's valuable as paper. You can use it for whatever people use it. So you use it to dress a wound. They would use a coin to put on a wound to stop the bleeding or something. So that's when we say that they each take the amount of coins that they put in, they take back. But if it actually lost money, then they would divide the the losses evenly. So now new Mishnah. Misha Yenosui Arba Nashim. If a person was married to four wives, the Rishonim struggle why we have to make it complicated by saying it's four wives. The halacha could just as easily have been said if there are two wives. But okay, a person was married to four, like Yaakov Avinu. Umeis, and the husband dies, and now the women want to collect their ksuba. So Rishonu Kademus L'Shniyah, the woman whose ksuba was written first, has the earlier shibud, so she collects first. Vishniyah L'Shlishas, Shlishas L'Revias, etc. Rishonu Nishbas L'Shniyah, the woman who has the earlier zman in the ksuba, when she comes to collect her ksuba, she swears to the second woman, if the second woman has a taina to the first woman, I want you to swear that you didn't already collect anything from the husband, because it could be that after you collect it from the nechassim, I'm not going to have anything left from my ksuba, and the same goes on. Shniel l'shlishis, l'shlishis l'revias, v'revias nefrash lo b'shvua. Only the fourth woman who has no one that comes after her is nefrash lo b'shvua. None of some of chimim pnei shehi achron and niskeres. Why should she benefit just because she's last? Afi lo tipar lo b'shvua. She also needs a shvua. Hayotzes kulin biyomechon. If they all have the same date on the shtar, kol kadem zechavarta afilu shah achasachsa. Anyone who comes earlier will be gover from the nechassim. B'kachay you call some yushlaim shaus, and they would write shaus in the ksuba in yushlaim. But if they all have the same hour in their ksuba, and there's only a certain amount of money in the estate, so then they divide it evenly. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara. Have a great day, everybody.